Lord, the giant, he's running to meet him. And as he runs, he reaches into his shepherd bag and he takes out a single stone and he put it in his sling. And you can just about see David as he began to wind up his sling. And then he slung that stone at Goliath. And that stone hit him directly between the eyes and sinks into his forehead. And the bully is dead even before it hit the ground. And to be sure, David runs to that fallen body of the bully. And he draws Goliath's sword and cut off the bully's head. And the Israelite soldiers, inspired by David's faith and courage, joined the battle, and they began to pursue the Philistines. And so David walks off the battlefield with the bully's sword in one hand and the bully's head in the other, according to verse 54. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a victory. And so as I try to move to the close, y'all just try to stay with me now. I know you're getting drowsy. What was it that made this victory possible? It was David's ability. Was it David's ability with a sling? Was it David's power? Or was it his skill as a warrior? No, but the secret to David's success, I heard somebody say, was his faith. His faith in the Lord. David believed in God handed David the victory, because in the same way, we will never defeat our bullies in our own power. And so we need not even try. But we can and will defeat them through the power of faith, by putting our bullies in the hands of God and by trusting him to give us the victory over them all. Because faith in God is the key to victory and all the battle we face in life with our bullies. Well, how do I know that is God's will for bullies to be defeated? Because the Bible says in John 8:36, he said, if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Because the Lord didn't save us to be defeated in hell and bondage by bullies, but he saved us to set us free to live a new life of victory for the glory of God. It worked for David, and I tell you, it will work for you. So in closing, whatever or whoever the bullies may be in your life, I tell you, you need to get some courage, and you need to step out on faith and face that bully, yes, that's in your life. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Ain't God all right? I'm talking about Jesus, the one who hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross. Jesus, yes, the one who laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And I'm imagining in my mind when Jesus was in the grave, Satan was laughing, him and his demons was having a good time because they believed that they had defeated our Lord. But Jesus' body laid and stayed in the grave, but his spirit went down into hell, and he took the keys away from the devil. And the Bible says that the dead began to walk the street. Ain't God all right? And bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Yes, he defeated old Satan, that bully that's always bullying you and me. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, I tell you, he will direct your path. Yes, we have problems many times with bullies everywhere. There's bullies in the church. There's bullies in the home. There's bullies in the school. But that's all right. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Ain't God all right? Yes, he's all right. Yeah. Don't let your bullies control your life. Stand up for what's right. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You don't care what the bully thinks. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let the Lord use you, no matter what a bully thinks. Because bullies are there just to intimidate you. But you can overcome any bully. Amen. In the power of faith. Hello. In the name of Jesus.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
In the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
The book is Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 13. Very familiar scripture. The word of God says, you are the salt. Take note of that word, salt. Not mayonnaise, salt. Not ketchup, salt. Amen. Not sugar. You say, you are the sugar of the earth. No, no, no. You are the salt of the earth. But check it out. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. That salt needs to be cast out and be trodden under the feet of man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this house. Lord, I ask again that you send your anointing. Use my tongue as a ready rider for your glory. I pray for strength, for anointing to proclaim what thus says the Lord. Somebody is here in need of a miracle. Lord, I pray that you will bless that man. Bless that woman, oh God. I pray that your anointing will flow freely unhindered without any interruption today. In the precious name of Jesus. And the church say, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, The Covenant of Salt. The Covenant of Salt. Today, my assignment is to reveal another mystery of Almighty God. The Bible is full of mysteries. It is the will of God for all of God's children to know all these secrets. And salt is one of those mysteries. I shared with our congregation earlier this morning that if doors are closed, you're not going to open that door by just shouting. If you don't believe me, the next time you're standing before a locked door, try it. You say, oh, oh glory, oh glory. And see if that door will open. You'll be there all day. There are mysteries. There are keys that open doors that are locked. And today my assignment is to share with you one of those keys. Let me encourage you to please pay attention. You need to know keys that can unlock doors that are closed. Today, somebody's door is about to be opened in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to this thing called salt covenant, I will tell you what it is. I will share with you why you need to covenant with God. I will share with you types of covenant in the Word of God. I will even show you how to enter a covenant with Almighty God. And then I will identify all the major covenants of the Bible. And then we're going to do a case study and focus on this thing called the salt covenant. Before I do all of that, you need to know, my brothers, my sisters, that your God, my God, is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. Did you hear what I said? One of God's MO is to make covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, so what then is a covenant? I'm glad you asked. A covenant is different from a contract. A covenant is an agreement between two people that cannot be broken. See, when people sign a contract, it's not uncommon for somebody to break that contract. Some of you are married right now. You went to the courthouse, you get a license, you know. And then you buy a ring. The reason why your spouse leaves is because all you got is a contract. You should have got a covenant with that woman. Something that will bind the two of you for life. But people are too busy. I like you, you like me. Let's go get married. And then, before they can even pay off the tuxedo, somebody is ready to leave. Just like you can make a covenant with a human being, you can make a covenant with God. That is something to shout about. That God is willing to enter into an agreement with you. Then the question must be asked, why do I need to make a covenant with God? I'm glad you asked. You need to make covenant with God because you are limited as a human being. I am limited as a human being. And there are some things in life that will not move just by your human effort. You can work hard. You can get 2-3 jobs. But some mountains will not disappear without God. I wish I can testify. There are things I've tried to do. Businesses, goals, projects. I work my tails off, but it falls flat in my face. I have to learn to partnership with God. That's why sometimes we sing a song here. Without God, I can do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when you've done all you know how to do. You done prayed about it. You done fast about it. You stay up all night, and the Red Sea is still standing in front of you. It takes a covenant with God to overcome. In other words, the things that are impossible with men, the Bible says it's possible with God. Am I right about it? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I can give you an example of a covenant that some of you have entered, but you don't even know it. When you give your life to Jesus, you see, cheap language, they will say, oh, you just got saved. But it's deeper than that. When you say, I do to Almighty God, you've entered into a covenant with God. And because you enter into a covenant with God, God committed himself to take care of you. He said over and over again, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. He said, I got your back. The Bible is full of covenants. Your covenant with God gives you access to heaven's supply. Your covenant with God puts you in alignment with Almighty God. Your covenant with God opens doors of blessings to you and your household. So you need to covenant with God. Tell somebody I got it. Now you need to understand there are two basic types of covenant with God. How many types? Number one, there are some covenants that are unconditional. God simply say, I'll do this for you. You don't have to do a thing. We call that an unconditional covenant. Say, for example, when it comes to your salvation, you don't have to do a thing. Jesus paid it all. So all you need to do is just receive it. You don't have to jump no pews. You don't have to run no aisles. Just take it. It's unconditional. You cannot earn your salvation. But there are some kind of covenants that are conditional. I have some lawyers in the house. They will use terms like it's bilateral. In other words, you have to do something and God have to do something. And if you don't do your part, don't expect God to do his part. Amen. Let me quickly identify some major covenants to give you an example of how God does business. Because many of you go through life, you never enter into any covenant with God. You're just trying to figure things out on your own. And you find yourself getting your head banged against the wall. The first covenant God made is called Edenic covenant. It's from the word Eden. You remember when God created heaven and earth, he planted a garden. The name of that garden is Eden. Then he signed a covenant with man. He put Adam and Eve in that garden. Am I right about it? And then he told Adam and Eve, hey, boo, this is all yours. You the boss. You can enjoy all this. You can name all the animals. You boss everybody around. Take dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish in the sea, over every creeping things, you are in charge. Then he said, by the way, don't touch this one tree. That was the terms and condition of the covenant. Am I still in the book? In case you want to check it out, it's in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. But you know the story. Mankind broke the covenant. Am I right about it? Then he tried another covenant with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you see the terms of that covenant. God said to Adam and Eve, your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. Is that a conditional covenant? No. Adam don't have to do anything. Eve don't have to do anything. They just need to watch the game. That's God promising the day will come when I will send Jesus Christ. And Jesus will bruise the head of the serpent. That's the Adamic covenant. And then again, you see, we have another covenant. I'm giving you examples of how God do business. He did something called Noahic covenant. It's from the word Noah. The world was committing so much sin, and God got so upset, he decided to destroy the whole earth with flood. Only Noah's family escaped. And after the flood was over, God said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, I will never destroy the planet Earth again by flood. That's a covenant with Noah. And he set up a rainbow as a sign to remind Noah. Till today, do you still see the rainbow? It's still in the sky. Again, I tell you, my brother, my sister, God is a God of covenant. He's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Then again, he made another covenant with Abraham. This time he's still trying to restore mankind to himself. So in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 3, you will see he entered a covenant with Abraham and promised Mr. Abraham three things. Number one, he said, hey, dude, I'll give you a piece of land. He said, I will also give you a son. From this, you will become fathers of many nations. And thirdly, he said, I will bless your success. Did God kept his covenant? Yes, he did. If you study the story of Abraham, you will see how he fulfilled his covenant with him. Then you need to know how covenants are cut. That word covenant in Hebrew means to cut something. And the way they would do it, they would gather together the parties to the covenant, and they would take an animal and split that animal into two. Translation, they would kill the animal. And then they would put one piece on this side and one piece on that side, and then they would sprinkle the blood of that animal in the middle, and the parties to the covenant would walk on those blood. You might say, what a theatric. What they are doing, ladies and gentlemen, is to remind each other that whoever break this covenant, his life will be the life of this animal. That's why I say covenants are different from contracts. If you break covenant, you're going down. And if you read in the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, they said God literally came down. There was a flame of fire that passed through those killed animals. But something interesting happened in that passage. You will notice that only God walked through those dead animals. Abraham never did. Why? Because the covenant is an unconditional covenant. Abraham don't have to walk the land. It was God and God alone who obligated himself that Abraham, I will give you a piece of land. Abraham, I will give you a son. Abraham, I will bless you. And all of that came to pass. Again, you will see another covenant called Mosaic Covenant. It's from the word Moses. In Exodus chapter 20, many of you are familiar with it. You call it Ten Commandments. That's a cheap understanding of the Bible. And that's why many of us don't obey it, because we don't have a deep understanding of what we are reading. It was a covenant with Almighty God. God literally summoned Moses to the top of the mountain and then spelled out the terms and conditions. If you do this, I'll do that. Don't have other God beside me. Don't make the name of the Lord in vain. Don't kill, don't steal, don't cheat. He went down the line. These are the terms. Out of our cheap understanding, we just call it Ten Commandments. It's a covenant. And because many of us, we never enter into covenant with God, we are breaking those rules. We steal, we lie, we cheat, we covet our neighbors, and then you wonder why God describes us as stiff-necked covenant breakers. And then you wonder why people are not blessed. Can you handle the truth today? Another example of a covenant is what he did with David. It's called Davidic covenant. And basically what he told David in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16, he said, the kingdom of Israel will never depart from your house. That your power, your throne will continue. It is secure forever. Till today, the house of David is still ruling. That's God's covenant with God. It's an unconditional covenant. He loves David. David was considered a man after God's heart. And then when you look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31, again, you see another covenant. Prophet Jeremiah said, the day is coming, saith the Lord, that I, the Lord thy God, will make a new covenant with Israel and with Judah. I told you God is in the business of making covenant. Interestingly, that new covenant was fulfilled when Jesus came. Isn't it amazing? When you take the Holy Communion, you will read how Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God before he distributed the bread. But in the same manner, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and then he told the people, this cup represents a new covenant. He told you loud and clear. Amen, somebody. By the way, when I talk to you about the Davidic covenant, that covenant with David was not just a covenant. It was not a blood covenant. It was a covenant of salt. That's really what I want to teach you about today. You remember how the people of Israel, they made up their mind one day, they don't want God to be their God anymore. They want to have their own king. They want to be like other nations. And then they chose Mr. Saul, good-looking Negro. So they make him the king. It was a complete flop. Then after Saul failed, then they chose David. And you know the story of David. He had his own flaws. He loved the girls. And he's a murderer. Then they say, okay, well, let's try somebody else. So this time they choose Solomon. Things are not getting better. It's actually going down faster. Solomon had how many wives? 300 wives. Now, just check it out. How can one man have 300 women? You sure right, my sister? And then the Bible says you also have 700 concubines. Ladies and gentlemen, Houston, we got problems. You know what I'm trying to tell you? It is only when we do it God's way that we prosper. Things went bad. Things went down so bad that the whole country split into two. Now we have northern Israel and we have southern Israel. Northern Israel had a king by the name Jeroboam. And southern Israel had another king called Abijah. And then things got so bad that both the north and south were fighting each other. These are children in the same family fighting each other. It got so bad that Abijah, who is the king in the south, he decided to talk to his big brother in the north. He said, hey, we are family. Why are you trying to fight us? We are from the same bloodline. You can read it yourself in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 5. But he says something more profound than that. He said, don't you remember, big brother, that all of Israel was given to David through a salt covenant? Can you read? Make sure you can see. Now that brings me to what I want to talk to you about today. There is something called a salt covenant. It's unfortunate that we go to churches, we sing, we shout, we shake our booty, but we don't really get down to deep revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, because Jeroboam, the king from the north, did not listen, and he went ahead and fight his brothers and sisters in the south, he lost 500,000 men that day. You know what happened? The folks in the south, they cried out to God and they prayed to God, Lord, remember your covenant of salt. And because of salt covenant, they lost 500,000 soldiers. That's what happened when you break covenant. I want you to read how this salt covenant operates. Check the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to understand it and apply this in your own life. Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 13. Again, you see God telling the people of Israel, whenever you present a grain offering, make sure you add water. Can you read? Add salt to it. In fact, it goes on to say, whenever you give any offering, what did he say you do? Add salt to it. Isn't it amazing that many of you have been giving all these years? And you never add salt to your offering. Many of you, you've been making donations. Now you wonder why you ain't getting no result. This is why Prophet Hosea said in Hosea 4, verse 6, he said, my people perish. You know why? Lack of knowledge. So today, my assignment, I finally get to my sermon, is to equip you, introduce you to this thing called covenant of salt, so that you can go home and apply it. When do you need a covenant of salt in your life? Well, just think about it. What does salt do in real life? Salt preserves. Amen. Salt is a preservative. Salt also flavor. Are you all still here? Salt will season your life. One doctor was messing with me one day. He said, "Dr. Dyer," I said, "Yes, I'm listening." He said, "I don't want you to eat salt no more." I said, "You're the devil." Because I know something. He told me, "Don't eat sugar." I get that part. Mm-hmm. I don't have no sugar in my tank. Mm-hmm. But salt? Oh, yes. Have you ever eaten some food with no salt? My wife tried to cook some things for me like that. I gave it back to her. I went to McDonald's and gave me a real hamburger. Let me try this side. My doctor daughter is over there. So I'm going to keep it real. Salt flavors. Salt will season your life. Salt will preserve. I remember we used to live in a city called Fayetteville, Arkansas, and it snows bad during the year. I will pour salt on the ice and it will melt. Salt is also medicinal. Amen. I have nothing against medical science, but I believe in holistic medicine. Science and the spirit world ought to collaborate and not fight each other. Amen. My children know that. They're experts in their field. They know their stuff. I know my stuff. And when you know that you know, no devil can talk you out of what you know. That's why the book says, "Be still and know I am God." When things get tough in your life, what you know will preserve you. When everybody is freaking out, what you know will allow you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When you are facing real demon, when you are facing real giants in your life, you need to enter a salt covenant with Almighty God. Briefly, I want to show you how it works. Open your Bible to the book of 2 Kings. Everybody stand up. Nobody can sleep today. Second Kings, chapter 2. I'm going to read to you from verse 19. Make sure it's on the screen. Make sure you can read it. The Bible said, "Then the man of the city said to who? Elisha. They said, 'Sir, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant.'" That's good news. "My Lord, you can see that for yourself. But," somebody shout, "but." Every time you're reading something and they throw a "but" to it, better hold your wallet. "The situation in the city looks pleasant, but the water is bad. And the ground is barren." Now, next verse, notice what the preacher did. "And he said, 'Bring me a new bowl and put some what?'" You see, is that in your Bible? "Put some salt in the bowl." And so they brought it to him. Verse 21. Then look at what he did. The prophet went out to the source of the problem. And guess what he did? He cast some salt there. And then he says something. He didn't just throw some salt. He says something. What did he say? He said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. And from it there shall be no more death and no more barrenness. One more verse, verse 22. So the water remained healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha when he spoke. You may be seated. Now I'm going to show you how this thing works, and we're going to grow, pray, and go home. In case you missed the story, we're talking about the city of Jericho. What happened was that there was a great prophet by the name Elijah. And if you know anything about the Bible, God took him to heaven. He never died. But while he was going to heaven, his mantle fell on one of his associate pastors. All of you associate pastors, you better be listening. Joshua Darren will not always be here. At some point, the mantle, the anointing upon my life will fall on somebody. But you cannot expect the mantle to fall on you when you're not even here. That's another sermon for another day. Elijah told that brother, associate pastor, if you can be there when God take me, he said, then you can have what I have. And guess what that associate pastor did? He followed that man of God. He never left him. Everybody else was missing in action, but he stayed with the man of God. And when God took that man of God, the mantle fell on Elisha, and he picked it up. Some of you want the keys to the car, and you can't even drive. They came to Jesus. I want to be on your right side. I want to be HNIC on your left. Jesus said, can you drink from the same cup? Can you deal with the challenge of being a pastor? You better shut up and lie low. Elisha was there, so he got the mantle. So when he came to town of Jericho, everybody saw this brother got it. He is the new sheriff in town. So they said, brother pastor, you know this city is pleasant. He said, but we got a problem. The water is no good. And the land is barren. I can stop here and preach to Central Louisiana. You really want to know the problem here? Have you ever wondered why cities are growing and we are stagnated? It looks beautiful here, but the water is no good. And the land is barren. Can you handle prophetic understanding of the word of God? And not just for this neighborhood, in your life, in my life, individually, we look good on the outside. Everybody dressed up today. I hear all kinds of flavor of cologne and deodorants. But underneath all that, beneath the surface, the water is bad. The land is barren. Notice what these people do. They came to the man of God. What do you do when the water is bad? When the land is barren? Some of you, you will run to warlords. Some of you will run to palm readers. Some of you will go to witchcrafts. And then you wonder why the devil is taking advantage of your family. These people had enough sense to go to who? A man of God. When you get a chance, go read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. He said, you better honor your man of God. He's a point of contact between you and your Creator. They came to him. We got a problem. And as long as we are doing the same thing and expecting a different result, the community will never move. Notice what the man of God did. Read verse 21. I thank God for understanding. The Bible said, the man of God said, he went to the source of the problem. Is that in your Bible? The water was bad. He went to the source. Sometimes part of the problem is that when the devil is messing with us, we are busy bandaging the problem. We are busy trying to cover up things. We are wearing a camouflage. And then we wonder why things are not working. Today, in the name of Jesus, we're going to deal with the source of every attack in your life, in my life. The devil is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, not only did this man went to the source, guess whatever he did? The next thing he did, he said, bring me a new bowl. Somebody shout, a new bowl. Part of the problem in this neighborhood, we are still fooling with old stuff. Old bowls, old ideas. And then we expect some magic. You cannot be doing the same old thing and expecting a new result. God is doing a new thing in our world today. I pray that God will do a new thing in your life. Open your mouth, shout amen. Anything that's been draining you financially, anything that's been messing with you emotionally, anything that has been slowing you down in your relationship, in your prayer life, in your business life, I pray for God to do a new thing in your life. Shout amen to that. Wherever there is a barrenness, God will do a new thing. Wherever the water is bad, I say God will do a new thing. Wherever there is sickness and disease, have you ever had some sickness that won't go away? You done gone to the doctor, but that old devil is still hanging around. Now you become a frequent flyer. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Today. That's my prayer. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life today. I don't know about you. I am tired of the same old thing. Eyes have not seen it. ears have not heard it. It's not even been conceived in the hearts of men. What God has in stock to them that love the Lord. Open your mouth, shout new. Why do we need God to do a new thing? Because if the water is bad, if the land is barren, it don't matter how hard you work, that land that is barren will not produce. You can put in 40 hours, 50 hours a week. A barren land will still not produce. We need God. And only God can breathe life into a valley of dead bones. Now you see why your elected officials are nervous around me. Because I remind them as quickly as I can, every opportunity, except the Lord, build the house. Every one of you that are laboring, you're laboring in vain. Except the Lord, protect the city. In vain, the city council is working. Somebody needs to preach the gospel. The man of God said, okay, bring me a new bowl. Not an old one, a new bowl. It's, guess what has he said? Bring me some salt. That's my message to you today. And then notice what he did with the salt. He poured some salt in the bowl, the new bowl. And then he went to the source of the problem. And then he sprinkled some salt. Then he speak the word of God to you. Have you taken the time to identify where the devil is messing with you? Many of what you think is just wear and tear. Is the devil trying to kill you before your time? Many of what you think is just natural. Is the devil trying to mess with your destiny? I wish I can sit down and give you a report of how many times the devil has tried to take me out. You need a salt covenant with God. That's when you look at God in the face, have them do everything I know how to do. I've prayed about it. I fast about it. I worked my tails off. This child of mine is still acting a fool. Lord, you don't give me a child to be a crackhead. You enter a covenant with God and say, and the Bible says there are things that are impossible with men. But when it comes to God, all things are possible. Mark chapter 9 verse 23 says, if you can believe, that's right, brother, all things are possible to them that believe. My family are nervous. They know there are some things you cannot talk me out of. You just know that the word of God works. You just know that you've tried him for yourself. I've seen some lightning flashing. I've heard some thunder roll. I've seen Simbre Kadashi try to conquer my soul. But even in the midst of that, I can hear the voice of Jesus telling me, keep marching, march on, march on. He promised never to leave me alone. Oh, Never to leave you alone.